Cool. All right, I'm going. I'm recording. Almost. It's called the Almost Podcast, by the way. Yeah, man. It's rustic. Welcome, everybody. If you're listening, then thank you so much, because I don't know if anyone's going to listen to these. This is the Almost Podcast. We're here in a lovely coffee shop in St. Ives, and I'm joined by my friend Harris Christensen. How are you doing?
Hey, not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Good, good. Right. Slightly hungover, eating bread to try and soak it up. I've had like three coffees, feel a bit wide. So, tell me who you are. Tell me what you are.
So, I'm Harris Christensen. I'm technically a graduate, but not really. I'm just patient, running through life, trying to like throw everything I can out there, put together a little music festival as well.
Yes. That's what we want to talk about, your music festival. So, like, you've got, at the moment, it's sort of, it's happened, but not really. Like, it was a party last year.
Yeah, that was the first sort of, like, weird seed to begin it, I guess. And so it's now, like, spiraled into some different beast.
I can't wait to talk about that.
In a beautiful way.
Yeah.
In a lovely way.
So, last year... Well, like several years, you've had a birthday party where you've had like bands play, essentially like in your garden, right?
Yeah, mostly, yeah. But friends bands. Mm-hmm. Like, you boys have been playing, Dax has been playing, and that's sort of been enough to throw a party around it.
Yeah.
It's never been anything too good beyond that.
So, when did the idea to make it a festival come about, and how?
I guess the starting point is at the beginning of last year, about a couple of months after I graduated from my master's in sustainability.
Okay.
So looking at the environment, looking at society, and how sad. And can I swear on the podcast?
You can swear if you want.
How fucked up everything is.
Nice.
And getting quite depressed about the state of the world, and then learning about what we can do to save it. So. Me and my mate, she's a little older than me, her name is Mickey Gentleman, shout out,
cool.
Massive shout out,
yeah.
Absolutely
plug.
She's, we've been partners in crime since, probably doing our degree.
Did she do the degree too?
Yeah, she was on my course, so we were like dissertation buddies, seeing each other through the wars, in terms of bad things. Came out of it, she phones me up one day and she's like, that sort of idea with a friend about like having a music festival and running it off green energy and having everybody like look after the environment and learn about these important issues that we've been suffering about. Well, there's a business pitching competition going on for the university. I'm thinking of submitting the idea. Do you think it's good? Do you want to do it with me? And she's like, well, mate, that sounds like the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Put me in there, 100%. I'm down.
Wow. So it was the uni had a business.
The university had like a Dragon's Den sort
of. Oh, right.
Entrepreneur off thing once a year.
What's the like prize? Like, what's the result?
I mean, I forgot. They sort of have like a pot of about £10,000.
Wow.
And different schemes, like mentoring schemes, like incubator. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about in the sort of like startup scene.
Okay.
They're like, there's so much like startup.
Oh, so they're like a company like, that won it?
Yeah, they kind of have a partner with a couple of companies.
Okay.
Who are looking to get young people into business, basically.
Okay, cool.
Really cool.
Cool.
Or the big pitch.
What university was it?
This is Anglia Ruskin.
Okay.
So,
wow, that's pretty cool. So you've got this idea, well... She's rang you up, and then you're like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And then you go and pitch it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. She ended like a 1 minute video, goes through, so we get invited to go for a 2 day sort of conference about entrepreneurship.
Nice.
Do that, learn about how to like walk, and then pitch the business idea to a panel of judges, basically.
Wow.
It was terrifying. I suppose at the time, going through like quite a tricky stage of my life as well. So I was full of nerves and like full of anxiety and worrying about all sorts of like other stuff that's going on. I was like fishing's business, and really enough, right, we come away from it, go to the pub, like, the day afterwards, and they're sort of announcing the winners, and everyone's there, and we're like, I think we've got this, man. I think we can do it. They announce the winners, and they're like, call out the winners, and like, no Mickey Gentleman, no Harris Christensen, no Pando Music Festival.
They didn't call you out, so you weren't the winners.
Didn't win a thing.
Oh, man.
So, like, yeah, good experience, but let's keep this going, man.
Chirps each other up.
Yeah, yeah, go home, get an email the next day. Being like, we've got it wrong. In fact, you won the Provider Award for, the most innovative solution to a social problem.
What?
Yeah, you won this award.
That's awesome.
Which was like a pot of £3,000 and business mentoring.
So you, as part of the prize, you get mentoring?
Yeah. And it's surreal because I was about to go travelling, I was just working a bar job. So, what does this mean? What's happening? Am I like Michael Leavis now? Am I starting
to see God? Michael Leavis, number two, here he comes.
Straight to my head. I'm just like, yeah, man, this is what I was born to do. This is everything I'm supposed to do. And, my life is perfect now. A huge rush. Then we're traveling. 2.5 months. I left New York.
Committed to the traveling.
Still committed to the traveling. Which I'm so happy I did, because funnily enough, I ended up going to like three festivals that summer. Managed to volunteer at a spiritual festival in Portugal. So we were there for 2.5 weeks and just broke the whole thing with them whilst meditating every day. They did yoga twice a day.
Wow.
Ananda Festival of Bliss. Maybe going there again this summer. And they were just high. I'm like, I've never seen anything like
that
before.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it all started, man.
You did a bit of market research on your travels for your festival idea.
I sampled a little French festival. Spiritual festival. No drugs and no alcohol.
Really, what, the spiritual festival?
Yeah, nothing. Wow. Which is quite radical for a music festival.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was quite a really profound experience, actually. It is really quite unbelievable what happens at a music festival when you're
playing. Yeah, I bet.
Because you just soak in everything that's going on to the max.
It's a bit more raw.
It's so raw. Yeah. The festival opens up and thunderstorm, so it's in the mountains in Portugal, thunderstorm rolls in. On the opening of the festival, right, me and Joe are standing at the top of the hill, stewarding all these people in.
Oh, so you're working this one?
Yeah, we're working as well. So we helped build it. We did the build, we worked the bar, we sent fruit juices.
Nice.
And then
did clean bar.
Spray down. Yeah.
But do they allow coffee? You're not caffeine.
One drug on the side.
Oh, nice.
No cigarettes, nothing like that.
That's awesome.
So we're standing on top of the hill. There's parking skids. Thunderstorm rolls in out of nowhere. Lightning hit off in the distance. It was really like that. So I turned to him, I was like, mate, when I was in America, when I was like 18, I nearly died. Because I was sat in a hut and probably about 50, 40 feet away. A lightning struck the hut opposite to where I was standing.
Wait, is this you?
This is me.
What?
And like, put fear of God in me. And it was the last thing I've ever heard in my life. And as I finished that sentence, a lightning bolt struck the ground, and we saw it hit the ground about 40, 50 meters away from us.
Oh,
the ground's like,
smoke
coming out of it. And I ran for my life. I was like, I'm done.
Oh my God.
I just sprinted down.
You ditched your post.
I did. Without screaming to everybody, get out of there. I'm down the hill. Thunderstorm obviously carries on. And it's pouring down the rain in the festival, which is again unheard of in these Portuguese mountains. It's been dry as a bone for months and months and months. Right, like forest fires over. And then thunderstorm claps down.
Okay, let's go get
everybody just like loses their mind. and there's a local like Portuguese like drum ensemble just pounding this beat, getting everyone going. And it just got really like primitive. And everyone was in the rain, just like going crazy. And honestly, like the thunderstorm was like part of the whole sound.
That's so cool.
It was just getting everyone going every time lightning struck. It was mental.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was
what an experience.
I've got such clear experiences. Of that time over like going to Leeds when me and you were 17, 18
and you've like done the festival thing since we were young, right?
Yeah.
There's your influence right there. So you like prior to pitching this festival, you never even thought about it. It wasn't even like
it wasn't on my horizons at all. Is it on anyone's horizons?
No, I guess not. Yeah. Music festival. Yeah, I guess not.
But it's always been love of mine. We went to our first, the first place I went to, the first time I experienced that paradigm shift of society was with you.
Yeah, Leeds. It's a weird one.
With our annoying girlfriend.
It definitely, like, in a festival atmosphere, everybody does drop that guard. Do you know what I mean? Like the society guard. Yeah, and it becomes its own little, like, society or community in itself. Yeah. So I can see why, like, spiritual, like, if everyone's there and they know that's what they're there for, like, that would be cool.
There was some mad magic going on in that place.
And you know that everyone's doing it clean. That's so weird.
Because you're having a party. That's cool. Everyone's like, ends up doing the same sort of things you see in like a Friday, Saturday night in like London City, like off their rocker.
You don't need that. You don't need those stimulus to do it. You can just do it.
And everyone's almost going harder without that, you know?
Oh man, yeah.
And I came to the point, it was really an emotional time of my life, but basically at the end of the festival they had a closing ceremony, and what they like to do, it's sort of like a spiritual organisation, kind of like a religion, believing in God, and they meditate and connect their consciousness to the universe, and through it they have a lot of mantras and things like this, and they have monks that come and they are all dressed in orange robes and give you spiritual teachings. And it was really amazing. But they closed the ceremony for the festival was what they call a heart circle.
A what?
A heart circle.
A heart circle, okay.
Yeah, so this...
Tell me about the heart circle.
Do you want to hear about the heart circle?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'll tell you about the heart circle experience, because this is a weird mind jam. Joe, shout out to Joe Wilson, one of my best, closest friends.
Yeah, he was with you, right?
Music partner, everything, done a lot together. Yeah, he was with me on my travels. So we're hitting up the festival, and everyone's sort of aware that we're playing music and stuff. That's just a little bit of music together. And, we've had rumours, whispers about the heart circle, or like, what the heck? We were spooked by the whole thing, really. Spent the first 3 days thinking it was a cult.
Yeah, I bet.
How are we going to get out of it?
I think that would probably be what I thought if I ended up there.
I was genuinely scared. We were like keeping our phones on us all the time.
Especially, it was like there was a language barrier with people talking Portuguese.
Beautiful thing when you go to the continent. It's
everyone speaks English. Yeah, yeah, of course.
So, we're the idiots, like, just with one language, but I've been blessed to just understand everything that's going on all the time.
Nice.
So, everybody speaks English. Everything they do is in English. So we heard things about heart circle. They don't do it very often, right?
Okay.
And so...
It's a one-off.
It's like, once in a blue moon, they do heart circle. And some of the people who were, like, involved in the spiritual organisation, they were sort of newbies. They'd been there for, like, a year, and they were like, we've never done it before. And last time Parashakti did it, she was crying her eyes out.
All right.
And so I was like, this sounds horrible. Are they going to like put us on a rack and torture us?
Yeah, some Mayan. Have you ever seen that movie where the Mayan tribe like rip out people's hearts and then throw them?
Yeah, I know exactly what it's like. That's exactly what's going through my head. Because the only exposure I've ever had to anything like this place is cinema. Which is just every cult is going to kill you.
Yeah, yeah. From movies.
Yeah. So, we were so apprehensive, like so apprehensive. But then some of the young people are, who we're making friends with, like, it's totally cool, man. Just come along, do it, just have a go.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, just crack on. It's only, like, only, it's only nice things that go down. If we're jacked, we'll probably almost be invisible, doesn't it? Well, so they're these big dome sort of structures. They're two of them on the side.
Okay.
And just like this open air dome, sort of crisscross thing. A big platform in the middle, just in the mountains by the river. Just like unbelievable. Unbelievably beautiful. And we sat in there, probably about 30 of us, and we've been there for about a week and a half now, so we knew most of the people. And sit down, get your sort of singing these mantras,
okay,
along with the guitar, and they basically write it to sort of Western pop music.
Okay.
So the music's quite, it's easy to get involved with. It's pretty good tunes actually being thrown out, but it's by repeating this mantra, Baba Nam Kevala.
Okay, that's the mantra.
Yeah, which means I think infinite love and consciousness.
Wow.
Yeah. So the psychology is like, if you are constantly ruminating on like negative things in your brain, you almost become those things. You start thinking, you start thinking,
yeah,
those,
yeah,
things, and like the power of now, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I can hear that.
You visualize yourself and it happens. But like I say, if you're constantly filling your mind with love and infinite love, then you become infinite love and you express infinite love, and that's their thought process. So everything they do is based around this mantra. It's everywhere, all the time. Everyone's saying it all the time. All their songs are just the same lyrics.
Oh no!
Baba Nam Kevala. There's no diversity. They write like metal. There's one monkey who wrote like a metal.
Is it like a every act comes on just sings that line, but in a different way?
There was a point where that was kind of
happening. Wow, that's cool.
Because it like feeds into their.
Drums it in, yeah. Amazing.
It's mantra. Anyway, half circle goes down. We're all sitting around singing together, and I was like, I can understand this. I get this. Like, this is nice. I want to sing along.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wholesome. Like going to church on Sunday. It's cool. And then the dada, which is the monk.
Okay, like the main guy.
Called dadas.
Main dude.
Leading the half circle is like. I'm going to split you up in three groups, okay? Let's go around one, two, three. And then I want you to all sit with yourself, sit with your thoughts, sit with your breath, and tune in to what's going on around you. And I want you to think about a really touching moment in your life where you felt unconditional love.
Okay. All right, nice.
So whether it's a hug from your mum,
yeah,
or doing something nice for your brother or your sister, or telling your best mate that you love him, or anything like that. Just have that in your brain. Just think about it. And, I put in my brain after, like, I went through a really difficult period after I finished university. Lost myself, completely lost my way. And found myself on, like, a nature retreat, you know, staying in the woods in Scotland for a week. Going through my sustainability course. The idea of that was like, get people to meditate in the woods.
Yeah.
Links into the environment, so then they go back and rest their like careers.
So that was to do with your degree, not to do with your mental health.
Yeah, it's promoted by my lecturers.
What a nice
and we got a discount
part of your degree, yeah.
Yeah, because the evening project was partnered with our degrees.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, the person, and the idea is they want like a, it's a bit of a tangent, but they want politicians and CEOs of companies come do this thing. When they go back, they make more green sort of decisions.
Yeah, because they would see it. Yeah, yeah.
But they appreciate the environment, what it really is. So, I was on this thing, and it was quite enlightening. And sort of started my journey, I suppose, of like, getting to know myself again. Brother turned up. It was beautiful. It was in the wilderness. It was complete wilderness. Like the most remote place in Scotland. Brother comes, picks me up. And I had such like a... 180 on where I was in my life. I sort of could see clearly for that 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
I just said to myself, I need to let my brother know how much I love him.
Yeah.
It's been so long. Like, it's been so long.
He'd said that.
Not being able to express it.
Yeah.
Now I've got it, don't let it go. Like, hold on to it. Brother comes out, like, you go on a walk, talk to my man, and I said, nah, I just love you. I just have to tell you how much I love you.
Nice.
And it was weird, and it felt awkward, but like, afterwards, it was just like, that's
it. Like, really freeing.
Yeah.
So that's the moment you think
about. That's what I had in my head. It's quite a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Really
powerful.
And I got picked as number three. So my group was last. So the first two groups, what happens is, well, you get one group at a time, sit in the middle of the circle, and you form a smaller circle, but you're facing out.
Okay.
So you got this one circle in the middle, they're facing everybody, and then the outside circle is looking in. And you've got two groups on the outside, one in the middle. So the first group, they go in, and we're all singing on the outside. So yeah. Singing this mantra.
Infinite love.
Everybody's thinking the same. The first two groups go by, and I'm again thinking, everyone's singing together. This is real nice. But there's no crying in it. I can't see anyone breaking down or anything like this. Then it comes my turn, sit in the middle, and getting there, hugging myself down. I think Jerry's in there with me. And I'm not singing, so I'm just sat there listening, and everybody on the outside is repeating this mantra, these words, and it just hit me like a brick wall, and completely, like, opened up this, like, deep sea.
But you had, like, a proper spiritual experience.
Of, like, emotion and love, and it's like, I hadn't been, like, touched in such a long time, and I was bawling my eyes out for about 5 minutes. Yeah,
wow.
It was like
circle. What was it? Heart circle.
Heart circle. The closest thing I can like compare it to is when you see someone singing, and they're singing about something really sad.
Yeah.
And you can hear it in their voice.
Like they're actually putting thought behind it.
Yeah. You can feel that emotion.
Wow.
Through them singing. And you can just feel this. I love from everybody. It was like your mum singing you a lullaby when you were a kid. It was the most pure
French toast
emotion. It was incredible. And I was going through a hard time and had gone through a really difficult patch with a girl I was sort of dating for and traveling. And that was completely devoid of love. Completely devoid of
You sort of had those realizations there and then.
Yeah, and this, I hadn't. It was pen really,
up,
really
pen
long
up,
time. And,
let it out.
Our society is quite close to all that stuff. So
yeah.
It was really powerful. They did it at the end of the festival as well. They did a separate one. Still really like powerful, really like deep experience.
What experience?
Comes to the end of it, and I was like, yeah, end of the festival, going on this big journey, like, really sort of finding a lot about myself and what I really care about. And we finished that, and you got any closing remarks? And I leant over to Joe was like 2 seats away from me.
Yeah.
The girl sat between us. I leant over to try and ask Joe if I could be like, man, I need to tell you something. And this girl couldn't hear what I said, and she was like, oh, you want a hug? And I was like, yeah, I want a hug. So he gave this girl a hug, and I wanted to talk to Joe, but I was like, I can't, like.
Yeah, this is awkward,
you,
yeah.
Thinking, like,
just
this
go.
Is such a lovely moment.
Thanks for the hug, but I need to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wanted to make that connection in that moment. I said, I didn't want to ruin that. So I was like, I can't lean over and tell Joe what I want to tell him, what I'm thinking about at this moment. They were like, you've got any closing remarks? And I was just like, I may as well do it. And just stood up in front of everyone, in front of the whole festival, to say this thing. Like, I've got to say it now, otherwise I'm going to lose my chance.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, everybody. I've been on like a wild time in my life at the moment. And like, it's as good a moment as ever to just say, like, Joe Wilson, man, I really love you, mate. I'm so happy we're on this journey together. Like, you're the best, you're my brother. All of this, I love you, mate. Give him a massive hug in front of everyone.
Oh, that's but awesome.
The crowd goes, whoa.
Did he get a cheer?
And then they stick a guitar in my hand.
No.
And they're like, play something now. And it's like,
what did you play?
What?
What did you play?
We pulled out.
Okay, let's get some tap water.
Yeah.
The perfect sauce.
Yeah.
And a bit.
There was a Nick Volman
no, tap water
yeah. off his new album, which is like
you ready to
probably the most spiritual album I listened to.
Yeah.
And it's sort of just basically got their mantras, just an intro.
French toast with.
I can't remember the name of the track.
Oh, we'll have to find it and plug it.
It's cool. I think it might be called Unconditional.
Wow. Did you discuss it or did you just crack into it?
No, we'd been there. We sort of had this in our back pocket.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice.
Just in case. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You
were prepared.
You
were prepared for the moment.
Yeah. Nice. I planned this all along.
Wow.
Play this song. Goes down really, really well, and that was the final moment of the festival.
That's awesome. What a story. Wow.
Yeah.
So, damn. Where does this con tie into what you've got planned for your festival then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as much as possible. I want to try and
win some of
those elements. I bet. This guy inspired me so much that I wouldn't mind, like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could even make it like part of I mean, if you've got like a festival company together, you don't have to put on one festival. You know what I mean? You could put on.
Like the festival scene can get, but sometimes it's a bit stale in places. But that's a radical thing. Like,
yeah. Wow. That's so cool. So, your festival. What's happening? What's going on? Because we've taken to this point of like you've just finished traveling. You've been on this wild spiritual journey. You know you've got this. You've won this thing award through your course. So like you return from traveling. What's next? What happens?
Well, I guess I am so fortunate for my business partner Nikki.
Yeah.
She plugged away whilst we were.
She worked whilst you were market research. Yeah.
There were times where I was like, I'm travelling, I'm going home to be like the next big thing, the festival thing.
Nice.
This is it, man. I've made it. Firstly, can we take a quick break from the podcast?
Yeah, what, do you need toilet?
No, I need to get a drink.
Alright, yeah, no problem. Right, take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Cheers, man.
Alright, return from the dead.
We're going back.
Yeah, well, let's just get straight on, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's just get on. Harris just told me he feels kind of hungover.
Just I wish something is
good. No, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's therapy for your hangover. It's funny, like, different people have different things that they, like, they produce really good things in those moments, you know?
I think it's because it sort of puts you in that survival mode to get over. So you're just thinking about like trying to live.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't had a hangover for about 4 years. So I don't know. I remember get a coffee hangover where I just feel dead. I've drunk so much coffee that it just doesn't do anything anymore. I'm like a zombie. Nah, so you've returned from travelling. Your partner in crime's been working nice and hard whilst you've been just doing your research.
Yeah, so
what happened? What happened?
Whilst I'm away, she's trying to find some land for us to do this thing. So that was like her like poor call really at the time. So
get some fields.
Let's get a place, and then we can start talking to people, then we can start networking.
Getting some
she's out there like flinging, asking questions here, then everywhere. Have you got any ideas? She's the garden party. She's a festival about 20 minutes from now.
Yeah, which is now not a festival anymore.
It's now not a festival.
Yeah.
So it's down there in front of us. They've got a site that they've been using for 16 years. Liaising with local councils, so they're covered with their like noise policies, or traffic management, all this sort of stuff. It's perfect. It's like the perfect place.
Yeah.
She was like, I was like, just click there. Drop me an email. Tell me what we're about.
So do you email a secret garden party themselves, or like the people with the land?
We went to like the organisers.
Okay, cool.
They're one and the same.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
the dark drumming.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we contact these guys. Oh yeah, what I was going to say was something I didn't mention during when we were pitching the business idea.
Yeah.
Was that we sort of had this concept about doing a festival, looking after the environment, and did a bit of market research, and like there are loads of these things. And we wanted to really innovate what we were doing.
Those are in that cheap
palm. Sort of to separate it from the other people.
Trying to sort of start our own thing, really. So we jump on the bandwagon and try and be something different. And I was like, these people are talking about the environment, which is really important, but no one's talking about mental health.
Yeah.
There's not one festival who are linked with charities.
Really? What? No mental health charities?
Not within, like, not
sounds that nice.
Not officially, not, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of these do, like, they have this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
They do a lot of work, but none of them had like a big promotion about talking about one of the, like, the biggest problems in the world. I think depression is really disease burden worldwide.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, and it's on the art. What are we going to do? No one really seems to have the answer. This is a great platform for this. So we pivoted our business idea to involve some mental health awareness.
Yeah, cool.
The most wholesome idea ever.
Environment and mental health combined. Well, because they kind of go hand in hand, like you've said about going to Scotland and your wild spiritual experiences. Yeah, that's cool.
And music.
Yeah.
And the perspective.
Yeah, yeah. The coming together of everybody as well.
So,
yeah.
And he's like, we're really busy, and we've got lots of people who want to do festivals here. But I like what you're saying. I wanna hear more. I wanna talk to you guys.
It's exciting.
We're like, oh, what is going on? Like, okay, fine. So I come back, and there's talk of going to meet Fred Fellows, who started Tea Garden Party himself when he was 25.
Nice.
Same age.
Hey.
On the land, so he was there every single year. Was like a driving force in the whole thing. Quite a game changing festival in the industry as well.
Yeah. Big deal.
Basically, back into like movement in British music festivals. So yeah, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to meet him the day I come home. Is that the plan? Like, yeah, you're going to fly in, you're going to go straight to see Gun Time.
Nice.
And you're going to talk to Freddie. I was like, that's stupid. Like,
wild idea.
Luckily, he postponed like a week later. Anyway, turn up with... our team's going to free email at this point. So there's Dino, Chunkamala.
Okay, so you've got three of you. Okay, cool.
I think that's how you pronounce
it. Alright. Cool. So the team's growing.
I'm sorry, mate, if I said that wrong. So the team's growing to three. Dino is such a nice guy. So he is part of Mickey's like, extended family.
Okay.
He's DJ, Sidechance, linked to Aboga Records, which I believe is Danish Shuffle, maybe.
Cool.
And he puts on events in London, had his own sort of like small event company going at one point. Really keen to get involved as like a founding partner of the whole thing. So he comes along and starts our music expert. Me and Mickey, sort of the environmental,
mental health,
and this is like my first business meeting ever. And it's with the guy who started to run.
Pretty big deal.
Yeah, so I was in a state. I was so wrapped with nerves.
Yeah,
I probably got like 5 sentences, 6 sentences out. And he's like, luckily the other two like took the reins and nailed it. They're amazing. But he like gets us in his gator, like right thing, takes us around to see the garden party zone.
Oh, nice.
Like, I've never been, weirdly enough.
Oh, really?
When we were at school, I used to go to the school. So I was like, man, I never know where the school is going.
Yeah.
I want to go to the festival and see everybody.
Secret garden party.
I want to go to Reading and
I played it one year.
Stuff like that.
Played it.
Did you?
The year I went, I played, yeah.
That's really cool.
It was good. I mean, you can see why it kicked off and became a big festival.
Yeah.
You know, because it was quite low key for ages, but obviously we knew about it because we lived around here. And then it kicked off. And then it was like one of the biggest UK festivals.
But,
yeah, so yeah, you get to see the site. Yeah.
So yeah, got to see the site. I sat next to Brad as well, and I was like, couldn't get anything out. It's just terrifying. Just so nervous. Right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm nothing. Like, really bad self-esteem. I'm really mean to myself, but I'm nothing. At least I'm doing some amazing things.
You're freaking out. You're freaking out. Yeah, yeah.
Venue, like, yeah,
oh, it's always the way. Always the way in those situations.
Yeah, I hate it. And then he loved it.
Yeah?
He really loves us. He really loved what we're about. He loved our guy. He loved the whole mental health sort of aspect of things.
Sick.
He's like, yeah, you've got balls to come in here. He's just pitches to me. I was like, yeah, sweet. So then we go out in this sort of weird, like, space of, like, are we, like, the next thing?
Yeah, you could, that could well happen.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Right now, and just, like, just came from, like, superhuman strength, like, superhuman strength.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a crazy time. So it sort of, like, launched us onto this thing of, like, right, we want to do our festival, yeah? We need about £20,000 to hire the site.
Okay.
£20,000.
Yeah, yeah.
We can negotiate them down. But
you need some money. Yeah, yeah.
And then we were like, if you need that, then are we gonna like go away? Like, if we need that amount of money, we can't do something small. We've got to do something big.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need a lot of money.
Yeah.
So let's get out.
You
there.
Need an investor.
Our whole like pitching kind of education.
Yeah.
This is what they do. This is what they're geeking towards.
Yeah, yeah. This is what it's about.
To winning money.
Yeah.
Going in and being like.
Get your thing off the ground.
Yeah. But everyone's businesses are different.
Yeah.
Doing it with a music festival. It's weird. It's crazy. It's really. Done
now for
most people in like
the start
scene at the moment, talking about
company, yeah. Pitching this mental health, environment friendly music festival that could be the replacement of Secret Garden Party.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell?
Whilst you've got all these tech dudes pitching their like teleporter or something.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So
you've been. Have you been going to investors then? Is that what
we went mad.
Yeah?
We went to as many people as we could. It was crazy. We were asking people for £500,000.
Yeah, yes. It's money.
And we had.
Dang.
So another guy. So Dino has a friend of ours, Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Another South African guy. Also worked with a dude.
Yeah.
He was doing finances for us.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So here's this guy, who's like 20 years into his career.
Huh?
But that bit older than me.
Do I like
them? Telling us about the numbers, yeah. I'm thinking, I trust Amara so much. He's like, we can do this with these numbers. If we get this here, we can make this amount of money over 5 years. So it looks good. So
he's got the numbers down.
Yeah.
He's got pitch.
5 year forecast, we're in agreement. We're making money. So we're like, okay, cool. This guy. Amaro, our financial controller, is telling us that we can make this amount of money.
Yeah.
We've got this like business pitch.
Yeah.
All like neatly designed and set out because we've learned about doing it properly.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, you've got to do it. I've got to go for it.
So yeah.
Just like bumping us like in front of millionaires, giving out money, being like doing this business pitch. Like,
yeah.
This is what we're about. Can you give us £500,000?
Yeah.
Million,
what can you give us?
Yeah.
Give us some money.
So there's one point where I was in Mayfair.
You went to Mayfair in London?
Mayfair.
Nice.
I was talking to the guy from the Rupert Murdoch Trust Fund. Basically, this guy who handles like all of Rupert Murdoch's money.
Okay.
You know, we're doing this, we're like sat in this boardroom, this huge like
Yeah. Yeah.
Sat in there, just like, really, really hot with my sweat every day in my suit. Just like,
like, were you wearing a suit?
Just like meeting up with like three
other people. That's amazing.
You're like, okay, I'm not like about to die from anxiety.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Sit down with this guy for like 20 minutes, give him the whole business spiel, and he's sort of like quite receptive to it.
Yeah.
You know? Sort of saying like if you get anybody on board, like any sort of like big name brands, something that sort of vets it for us so that we can trust that you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I want to get involved in some of those. It's like, but
let's do it.
But get it made fair, talk to some guy like that and he says, you might be interested in products at some point. You're like, this is safe.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, there. This is obviously a good idea.
Yeah, take feedback. What we're doing and try again.
Yeah.
We just ran ourselves into the ground trying to get this money. Like every 2 weeks, I was
quite out. Yeah, I bet.
Stressed out. Like,
because you happen to go into these meetings.
Yeah, one moment you're like,
freaking out.
Really wrapped myself in anxiety, getting in the mindset that we're going to make a million and I'm going to be a festival director. That's stressful enough anyway.
Yeah.
So then I think, oh, we now need to make this person money by building a festival.
Yeah, if they get involved, then...
makes a profit.
Yeah.
I bet this is like a job interview. Like
yeah.
The most mental job interview.
And there's a lot of money riding on it. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, so much pressure. Like, Fred's getting involved as well and all this sort of stuff. We were just like chatting ourselves up all the time. Like,
yeah, pumping. Get pumped.
Yeah, we've got this person now. All these sort of like crazy people sort of coming forward. I mean, we had some guy who'd done Ben had done some like Cirque du Soleil, like
cool.
Doing their like stage designs.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah, I want to get involved. Mickey's got the gift of the gab, which is like amazing. Talk for hours and hours and hours.
That's cool.
Hours. And he talks to everybody, and it's amazing. It's great.
You need that.
Particularly at the time as well. Still very anxious about myself.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
What I was doing.
You're still going through all your personal stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was lugging a lot of stuff around, but the dynamic worked really well because she's so bubbly and energetic, and she carried that energy with her. But that can also spiral too much sometimes.
Yeah.
And then,
too much talking.
And then I sort of was the grounded energy and like
rain it back. Yeah.
And it worked really nicely. And it's a great partnership. Really good dynamic. So where was I?
So you're pitching to these investors, you're running yourself to the ground.
Yes.
Again, week in, week out, you're just meeting up with these people. Yeah.
And not getting any money.
But you're getting interest, right?
Yeah. We're causing the buzz. But not getting any money. And neither of us getting any money. This is like a full-time thing.
Yeah, this is hard. Oh man, yeah. I can relate.
Living off this £3,000 and having to still be at home and not really knowing like where I was at with those sort of feelings.
Yeah.
It's just like so much good, there's so much bad.
Yeah.
It comes to like November, December time. I haven't got any money. We're all knackered. So let's just not say like it's over, for the next month, let's just
chill out. Yeah.
Let's not do anything.
Preserve yourself.
Yeah.
Self preservation. Hear ye.
Let's come back to like kind of Africa, just a little bit and get my foot. So yeah, go to Christmas. Really nice. My brother comes back into my life, which is quite nice. He's gone away to Australia.
So oh, cool.
That's like a big thing.
Yeah, he returned.
Yeah.
Nice.
Spent a lot of time with him. Just hanging out with family, just getting feeling like myself again. And,
good to hear.
Come around January time.
Yeah.
And over that period, I just thought, right, we haven't got a venue now, because we haven't got some money for Freddie. We're not going to do this, like, this is it's unsustainable for ourselves.
Yeah.
Doing it,
yeah.
So.
You've got to preserve yourself. Your own
job.
Yeah.
Support myself financially, mentally, mentally, physically. And I guess that changed our mindset. So if we work full time, we can't be working on an event full time.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something manageable.
Yeah.
So I guess that changed, yeah, the way I was thinking about things.
Yeah.
And just thought about the little festival I did last year.
The party.
Just the day party.
Yeah.
Just a day and a night of music, but at the time I was.
It's like
going through a really tough time.
You just got to ride it out.
The girl I was seeing.
You know, you're not going to solve this.
Was working in a place despite supervisor.
Nice.
And it was, but through this party together.
Yeah, you managed to do it.
Yeah.
So you're going through this rough period. You're disorganized as ever, but you still managed to throw like pretty good. You know what I've played many festivals. It wasn't dissimilar to some ones that are legit where people pay for it.
People buy
tickets for.
People
so.
Responded to it and they were like, "That was good fun, man." And I was dang. Like, "Oh, I did that," and I was like, "Not in a good way."
Mm-hmm.
I've grown so much since that time. I've got a team of people behind me. I've got a network that we've been pushing for the last 6 months. Why don't we just take all the concepts from our large event and just do something small?
Will
that was
down.
The advice we were always giving them. It's like, you need traction, you need to like test your business idea. You just throw everything at the wall. So I was like, I'm just going to ask mum and dad if we can do like a little thing here for 200
people. Got a little bit of land.
Sell like really cheap tickets, have a budget, and just try and get going. Just do something. It's been the perfect answer, really. Because now...
it's manageable.
It's manageable, and I can see the whole thing in my head. And I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know where, like... Not 100%, but I feel like I fit into the plan now.
Definitely.
Before, I don't know my skills.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do a drill. I was a barman.
Yeah.
So I knew I liked talking to people, but...
I was
about it, and I've been an academic.
Yeah.
So that was another thing.
I think it's stress for everybody. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Not knowing where they are.
Yeah.
Like 7 months kids.
Yeah, it's.
But I think this is cool. Like.
Saying after 7 months.
I mean, like any festival, even festivals are like, I've played festivals where we played it 1 year and there was like, you know, it was a family gathering and then. Like 3 years down the line there's like some more legitimate bands, so like it makes sense to start manageable and see how that can grow.
And I think that's how some of the best ones start as well, right?
Definitely.
So sort of how Freddie started this thing. So had that in mind and see them go and suddenly this like anvil of pressure.
I bet it felt so good.
Think clearly again about looking after myself. But I knew I had a big job ahead of me.
It's not a small feat to pull a festival together.
But I felt like I could do it.
Nice.
So I guess a bit of credit goes to when I was unemployed, I was really freaking out about what job I was going to do. That was horrible, actually. That was a really horrible time because you have so many options, you have so many decisions to make, but none of them are right.
No.
Because whatever you do,
it's going to come.
You're missing out on something else. So if I make a business team members job here, I then live here, but then I'm not living with my friends here.
Yeah.
But if I go and move there, I'm not living with my family here.
There's so many things to consider, man. Adult life.
I remember like my election before. Crying at the overwhelming pressure of this thing.
Purging.
Called up Addison for a little...
Purging. Shout out to Addison Mallon.
Yeah,
let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah, some dark times, but I really did. It was great. So I was speaking to my mum and dad, and I came across an organisation, a social enterprise that I has been talking about during my master's.
Cool.
And I think they're kind of an employment
agency, but they try and coach people into taking on jobs that make a difference in society. So
nice.
Whether that's about the environment or social support or anything like that. Their idea is they have a coach, they have these group of professional coaches, and for like a discounted fee, I can't remember why it is. You're like a or something, they want to help you out.
Okay.
And coach you, and put you somewhere where you can make a change. They're called Change Agents UK.
Okay.
I believe.
Nice.
So it was something like 100, 200 quid, and I was just like, for six sessions. So yeah, that sounds perfect. I'm really sorry, I need some help. Since I was thought to about like all these options in my brain.
Yeah, I need help siphoning this out.
I think I need professional help in this situation. So started going for these coaching sessions with a lady called Camilla. They were so helpful. They just guided my thoughts.
Cool.
Setting like I'd sort of see her like maybe once a month, twice a month.
Cool.
Set like tasks. Sort of thing, and just about CV, but also giving you just the confidence to the guy working
out. Yeah, yeah.
Just giving me the tools that I didn't have at the time.
I think like putting it into perspective as well, like you say, when you're just by yourself looking at options, it's overwhelming. Like there's too much to consider.
So we were talking about what I was good at, what I was bad at, like, started to make more sense about where I needed to be. And I was talking about a music festival.
Oh, come on, you'll be going.
And she loved it. And I was airing some of my concerns about working in the team and where we were going with the whole project. And she, weighed up what I was good at, what I was bad at.
Yeah.
And basically was thinking, I'm good at talking to people, but I've got this awful social anxiety that puts me in such a state that I can't talk to people.
Yeah.
It's this horrible paradox.
As soon as there's pressure kind of thing.
Yeah. So I'm not utilising that strength at all. I was getting so anxious about emailing people, networking with people, always fellows just come across really cagey. And so she's like, alright, spoken to that. So you just need to get out and talk to people.
Yeah.
But prepare yourself. So if you've got going for an interview, have some notes down, like understand what sort of questions you're gonna be asking. If you do get tongue tied and you do get stuck in that nervous situation or not say anything, at least you've got your notes there, at least you have something.
Yeah.
You can carry the conversation on with. I just got thinking about who I could talk to.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, Freddy's got a lot of experience, in this thing, and I've sort of, he knows who I am, and sort of talked to him.
Met him.
So I just sent him an email, I was like, hey Fred, man, like, I don't know what I do, but I haven't done anything like this before, and I just want to sit with you, have a cup of tea, and ask you, like, off the record, just any questions about like, what you were doing, and
How his experience was.
I just need some tips, man. She was like, 100% yeah. Come down to the farm, sit with me, we'll have a chat. Went for a rough farm and it was so cool.
That's cool.
Went for a beer with him. It's just the soundest, nicest guy. Just so that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Again, really nervous.
Yeah,
I bet. Over this thing, I was just like, oh, no, it's just me and him. I've got no one else to fall back on. I just sat there, geeked out about gunpowder and just like, who was your favourite app? And what was like the best thing?
What an interesting guy, man. I bet he's got some great stories.
So that was like this crazy insight. I was so like overthinking that thing. I was like, I don't want to record it or like film him or anything like that because I want it to be as natural as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need like nuggets that you shouldn't be saying on record.
Yeah, yeah. You want to
I was trying to look cool. But also take notes the whole time.
Yeah.
So pretty rubbish notes, but
you're right.
Got some really, really deep insights from Norton Dinning and what he did.
Say again.
Right, so I spoke to him. I gave him a little brief about festival.
Yeah.
I was talking about mental health side of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm kind of nervous about it, you know? Because we're doing the music festival, and the music festivals are stereotypically meant to be taking their drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And not looking after yourself.
Yeah.
And all this sort of stuff. And then we're promoting mental health.
Don't look after themselves. Yeah. And that can lead to some pretty severe mental health.
Yeah, everyone's first, like, laugh us out of the room. And then the burger, like, just, if you eat the burger first, you might eat some chips.
Ridiculous. But if you never sleep well, it's the bane in the bed.
Society's sort of pushing people out himself more fully so much of, like, making them aware of this stuff.
It's really silly.
Probably 90% to 100% of people dealing with a mental illness are self-medicating themselves with something.
Yeah.
Some drug. Alcohol. Whether it be cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Or even, I'd go as far as say exercise. Like, yes. Excess exercise. Yeah. Or, like, I mean, it's like those dopamine hits that are drugging themselves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's a better alternative than something like extreme drug, but
yes.
There's all sorts of things that people are self-medicating on.
So if you cut in that professional saying, like, you know, doing those things, you're cutting out the majority of people who are suffering.
Yeah.
You're not hitting that target audience anymore.
Did he say this, or you say that?
That's what he said.
Okay.
He's got a really clear head about, like, mental health things.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, oh, I think...
Really open about it.
Yeah, he's almost like a family. He might be, I'm not 100% sure, like a family member of Khan.
Oh, wow.
And well, he definitely had them come along to see Gunn.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Quite early on, I was like trying to promote that music festival and stuff. So he's got the right mindset. So I was trying to bring these ideas past him.
I was under a lot of pressure.
It's a really, really good suggestion.
From you, from
a bit.
And then I like.
I think it's a huge benefit, like, doing something on a personal level. Like, obviously you met him through a business sense, but then meeting him on a personal level, just being really frank with him, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's absolutely huge.
And just being really straight and open with him about this, like, important subject.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is that where it lies now?
No. Well, I guess... No, where it lies now is a little bit beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that sort of month on from then. Just getting, now we're just getting everything together.
Yeah.
With the hope that it's sort of our incubator, a little experiment.
Yeah.
It's the test run almost.
Yeah. And can grow it and get to the super gun fight side. Like, that's our mission. To be there.
That's your goal.
Yeah.
That's your success goal.
Yeah.
It's like you've got to work for the next few years on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it could take years, it could take no time at all, but...
Huh?
I think that's really healthy. You've almost, like, experienced your classic kind of, like, got really, like...
Hello?
You've got the vision in your mind, like, how big it could be, but, like, you've got to start somewhere, and it starts here, yeah? And then, hopefully, grow.
Yeah, and this is something that really helped my brain. It's just thinking, right... Get all these, like, 1,000 other avenues that you can go down. Just hear this, man.
Yeah, just keep focusing it.
Do it. Because even when I had it in my hands, the whole investment thing, the whole festival thing, I was always doubts.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, this is what I'm going to be doing. Am I going to be, like, this is the first time I've committed something that might take the next 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
Am I going to sit in my cube Peter sending emails to people. Is that what I'm going to be?
Yeah.
Kids that really negatively think about it.
Kids that get a message, they always get assigned
to consultants. I was pretty close to my grandfather.
Yeah,
different. Yeah, he was part of the
RAF. Okay. What a story. Yeah.
So that was going from my head when I turned 26 in April. So after you are 20, your 26th birthday, you cannot apply to be a pilot in the RAF anymore.
Oh, right.
So I was thinking this is like, this is my call. Like, I had this weird little, I can't really explain it, just this weird little voice somewhere inside me that would crop up every now and then and be like, you're meant to join the RAF, mate, and you're meant to be a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do. Like, I just started to like click these little things in my brain. Yeah.
What are you doing? Like,
you know, this sort of job question as at school.
Yeah.
Decide what you're going to be.
It's all right.
Careers there.
Yeah, yeah, careers there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to be a helicopter pilot from like CEPS.
Well, that came up when you did it.
Yeah. So I was like, what the hell? And then it just kept these little things kept like reminding me.
Yeah, you've got to do it before.
Although it is completely against like all my principles.
Yeah, yeah.
Just feeling I've got this skill set to
fly a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, we'll all go, just committing to the festival. It's really, really quite a moment.
Yeah. That's cool.
Just stop the sentence.
And that's making a big difference.
Yeah.
You just focus on anything
in place. It's good. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, and it's what you end up talking about, and that's where it's going.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever you say something about resilience,
everyone needs a thing, man.
Yeah.
You need your thing.
I know, but it's hard.
Oh no, it is.
But S is in C.
Yeah. So now, just hitting it hard. The team, going full blast straight into it, which is awesome, a little bit scary.
Cool.
Becoming like just the local liaison because everyone else is like London based.
Yeah, yeah.
We never said that.
So they've got like big. DJ sort of acts, doing that networking, and then sort of on the lower end of things, just trying to bring in local artists.
So is it going to be like a day thing, is it?
Yeah, we're doing a day and night and a day.
Nice.
So 12 p.m. on the Saturday until 6 p.m. on the Sunday.
Nice.
Running music till like 5 a.m. and stuff.
That's cool.
I was having a chat with Youth Theatre. So this is where I want to finish.
Yeah, cool.
The weird moment that I was talking to you about how things just keep happening.
Yeah.
Last week I got invited to go along to Calm Tonight.
Oh yeah.
I was like, what's this about? Some sort of like mental health little meeting out
for
this church. I was like, yeah. I was going with a guy called Dave Wilson, Joe's dad. He can go in the end.
Just go anyway.
Rock up to Methodist Church.
No one there.
No one there.
Yeah,
big old spread.
Yeah.
Really nice. We're just sort of thinking of ideas of what we can do around tonight to raise money. So we're sort of just going to sit at tables, have some discussions, see what's going on.
Wow.
Like, what the hell? That's
not the girl.
It's right on the street, but sort of going there, sit down, and it's all a bit like this is really interesting for people. It's like the girl.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Give it half an hour, it's like,
100 people. Whoa.
The mayor's there.
Nice.
The ex-mayor's there. There's like pub, like people from the like direct youth there.
Some big names in the area.
Yeah, there's everyone there. Just like, really like well-to-do, really nice open people. Like the head teacher of one of the primary schools was there.
Nice.
Really amazing. Wanting to make some art, So St. Ives has become the first town in the country to become a mentally health aware town.
Wow.
So we are transitioning to become calm St. Ives.
That's amazing.
Which is just
amazing. And you just happened to get invited to this?
Yeah, I just went along.
Wow, that's cool.
And but the same year, I decided to try and do a music festival about
perfect.
Local town.
So everybody who's somebody in the town now knows about it,
yeah,
right?
This hub in like the entire country, you're just like in the right place. So
that's cool.
We've got talking to the youth theatre, so they're going to come and
do that place as well. Like,
nice.
Dude,
some of these things, like you were saying, this is sort of like last year when you're going around pitching these ideas and you're, some of them, like, these ideas just come together anyway. You might not even need to, the more people that get involved, the more, like, things that happen, you might not even, you know, it might just come about. They're like the best things. Dude, that's so cool.
Really cool. And then I suppose more to say, like, over the last month and a half, I had to step up to do this thing. It was like, this is the main shot.
You've got to go for it, yeah.
But you're predisposed to dealing with anxiety.
Yeah.
It can let it go out of control, put you in depression for a while. So, really, you've got to really be disciplined with what you're doing. And Mickey was always telling me about doing yoga. Because I was quite into doing meditation.
Yeah. You've done your Rad Festival meditation.
Yeah, done the Rad Festival. Done the whole Scotland thing where I first got turned on to it. That helps manage things a lot. It really changed my life. But I've been doing a daily practice of yoga.
And nice. Yeah?
Yeah, shift that it's made in my life. The last 36 days, I've been doing it every morning. About half an hour, just on YouTube. Yoga with Adrian, 30 days.
Just a 30-day plan?
Yeah.
Free on YouTube.
It's so easy, it's so convenient, and it sorts out my brain and my body. Yeah. Just aligns everything.
Nice.
And just have, like, this clear, straight line of energy all the time. Like, I'm really hungover, but today...
Did you do yoga this morning?
Yeah. I just went this morning, came here, and did this podcast. 6 months ago, never in a million years would I be sat here
and talking about all this.
But just doing a bit of, like, down the dog is sort of
the outcome. Man. I think yoga's a hugely undertouched, like, I mean, for me personally, anyway, like, it seems to be becoming more and more relevant in, like, about what it can do for people. Because to start with, it was like, people just wanted to stretch, you know, like, do yoga, it'll stretch you out. But, like, there's definitely mind-body connection kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, like, Eastern science has sort of always known how powerful it is for humans to do. I think Western science is now catching up, and there are studies and there is research to sort of show that it can help people with, like, major depressive disorders, almost cure some people's mental illness.
I'm a huge believer in like, curing those things, or like, not even curing, but like, aiding those things through, like, a physical activity, obviously.
Yeah, so powerful.
And yoga, like, obviously, it's a huge thing about mind-body connection. So it's cool you say that.
I think I'm going to live the rest of my life. And it's, like, the most powerful thing I've ever done to manage my mental illness.
That's cool, man. Good to know.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
well,
it, mate, really.
Do you want to wrap it up there then?
Yeah.
When's the festival going to be? Is there anything you can promote?
May the 25th, currently. I mean, it's a bit wild, so yeah. But May 25th, currently, 12 to 6, Bangalore Day weekend. Pushing tickets out as soon as possible.
What's it called? Do you know what it's called yet?
It's currently under the name Pando Music and Arts.
Cool. Alright. Nice one. Alright, well, thank you for listening. If you managed to sit through all that, then, like, There were some absolute bombs in that. It was amazing. Especially some of those stories. Cool. All right. Follow us at almostpodcast.com, at almostpodcast. And yeah, follow Harris on his journey if you want. Cool. Nice one, dude.